Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, what's up? This is Javon from San Francisco. I want to shout out my favorite morning roast, my favorite radio station in the whole Bay Area, in the whole country. 95.7 The Game.
Let's go. It's a hump day. Feeling good. We got Sam Lubman filling in for Joe Shasky. We're talking Niners football. Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports Bay Area joining us in 10 minutes to discuss said 49ers. Cut day was yesterday. A couple names that are gone now. Released, Robbie Chosen, Russell Gage, Curtis Robinson, Jeff Wilson Jr., amongst others.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Vitor Gross Matos, though, activated from the PUP list. Looking like he's going to be ready for week one. It's a big boost for a defensive line.
Definitely going to need him there.
Has a lot of question marks outside of really Nick Bosa. He's the only like known commodity that you have right there. You got Fred Warner. You got Demo Lenore. Outside of that, who's going to step up? And maybe that's the reason why the 49ers won't win the Super Bowl this year. The number one reason outside of injuries is the question we're asking right now. The number one reason why the 49ers will not win the Super Bowl is going to be what? 888-957-9570. Sam Lubman went to the lack of depth outside of the big names, which is reasonable. I said it's the lack potentially of a home run hitter on offense. What say you, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. Getting a lot on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line in regards to the quarterback. Brock Purdy, not that guy. He's not going to be that dude. He's not going to replicate what he did a couple seasons ago, and he's going to be the reason why the 49ers will not win the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan is going to be the reason I'm getting as well on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line from the 831. Kyle Shanahan can't seem to get out of his own way when push comes to shove. Well, he did get you to two Super Bowls, right?
Well, like,
he's gotten there a couple times.
But Spadoni, if you can recall, the question is not why will the Niners make the Super Bowl? It's why will the Niners win the Super Bowl? And we can pick at least two Super Bowls that he's been the head coach of the Niners for where you can draw a direct line from the 49ers losing to a decision Kyle Shanahan made, among other reasons. But Kyle Shanahan has been a reason, a notable reason, why this team is still searching for that sixth Super Bowl.
Charles Davis, who does, I believe he's a CBS now, formerly of Fox, but he's been a longtime broadcaster, does the games, I believe he's with Ian Eagle now, paired up with him. He's doing a hell of a job. He joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday, and, you know, he kind of talked about Kyle Shanahan. It was interesting, and there's a lot being made about Shanahan and his stubbornness, right? He is his father's son, and he's very stubborn, and it's his way or the highway, and he's not going to retool or revamp for anyone. He's going to run his offense his way. But there's this notion, and Shasky's brought this up, Sam, when it comes to him being able to make whatever wide receiver room work. I will elevate, you know, the Kendrick Bournes of the world. I will elevate, you know, Juwan Jennings to be a number one guy last year. There's a sense of stubbornness when it comes to the lack of skill position players in the wide receiver room, albeit he did have an all-pro in Deebo Samuel. He had an all-pro and made Brandon Ayuk an all-pro just a couple seasons ago. So you got to give him credit when credit is due. Well, this is what Charles Davis had to say yesterday on Shanahan's potential belief that he can make any wide receiver room work.
In my mind, Kyle Shanahan always believes he can find someone else. He always believes he can find another player to do and scheme for and create. He always believes that whoever he steps in and puts out on the field, he'll find a way to make them better that day. And the truth of the matter is his track record says he can and has. That's what it comes down to. Very few people are we going to talk about, I think, can scheme and call a game the way Kyle Shanahan can. I mean, there are times people in this league, right? Let's face it, guys. You know what it's like when we talk about people coming out of college, right? Quarterbacks who have to have throw with better anticipation. How many times have we relayed the same story? Every one of us is broadcasters. When the quarterback gets to training camp in the NFL after being in college and doesn't throw the football, and the coach goes, son, why don't you throw the ball? Coach, he wasn't really open. Son, in this league, that is open. You got to find a way to put it in there, right? Because defensive backs are better, quicker, the windows are tighter, et cetera, et cetera. My point is, how many times have you watched a 49ers game and guys are wide open, like clearly, yard, no one around? That scheme is awfully effective. And that's why I think, you know, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you're like, okay, I don't have everybody I want, but I'll find a way to make what I have better.
The scheme is effective until it's not, until we saw what took place in the biggest game in recent memory for the 49ers in the Super Bowl with that quote-unquote sticky man coverage of the Kansas City Chiefs secondary, the McDuffies of the world, the Legarius Sneeds of the world. They could not gain separation. They couldn't. And the scheme, what was the scheme doing then? So, like, I hear him on that, and that's what, and I did bring that up last segment, Sam. Like, he does find a way to get these guys in space and get them going. And that's why I think the home run hitting aspect of Christian McCaffrey and whether or not he's lost a step is so massive for this team, because that's all predicated on the running game and the run setting up the pass, right? The play action, all of that, getting the defense in that secondary and those linebackers to bite is massive for Purdy in this offense going forward. Massive.
Yeah. And I kind of agree with, though, with what Charles Davis has to say in that. Yeah. Shanahan has shown that he can take guys and elevate them through the passing game. He is very good at scheming guys very open there. And that is why, where if I am not counting on Christian McCaffrey in this hypothetical situation, to if he is not the home run hitter this year that he has been in years past, that is just even more reason why I look at Ricky Pearsall as the guy who, you know, we're talking about, you know, we've talked about, oh, George Kittle's probably going to have a big year this year. He looks like he's primed to have a career year. And I think Ricky Pearsall, I mean, I'm not going to say a career year in year two, but I do think that he's primed to have what you would say is a big breakout year for him this year. And that is the Kyle Shanahan effect in action right there.
You know, I'm looking at this year for Ricky Pearsall, similar to how I felt about Jung-Hoo Lee this year as well. Jung-Hoo Lee of the San Francisco Giants was, you know, he played a cup of coffee in the majors last year. And got hurt and then basically missed the whole season, right? I'm kind of looking at the same thing. Now, it was a little inverse,
like a
right?
Rookie year 2.0, basically.
Correct. It's more of a red, I call it a red shirt.
That's a good comp,
it's a red
actually.
Shirt season for Ricky Pearsall, kind of like it was for Jung-Hoo Lee. And it started off great, and then he went down, and then he went back up, and it's like, it's leveled off. Like, Jung-Hoo Lee, I think I had to give him, and I think a lot of people were very frustrated because he was a big fat signing from Korea, and you didn't know a lot about him, and it was the Farhan Zaidi era, and it was, oh, it's a Farhan guy. We're not married to him. He's not a Buster guy. But he showed that he could adjust the big league level. I think this season he has shown he is able to do that. Now, it was a bad stretch there, but he's like, that's part of the game, being able to adjust. I thought Ricky Pearsall was able to adjust later in last season as well, which was a big reason why I'm looking at, as you are, him to break out this year potentially as well. And again, we'll see what Juwan Jennings. What's the trust factor going to be there with Juwan, like with Brock Purdy? I don't know. Maybe, just maybe, all this time in training camp and in preseason, Ricky Pearsall is now the trusted agent, and he's going to be force-fed going forward, which I think would be great for not only for his confidence, but Brock Purdy's as well, alongside of George Kittle's. Hey, Bobby's at the DMV. He's chilling. I teased it. We got to go to him. Bobby, first and foremost, why are you at the DMV? And good morning.
Hope it's not for fun.
Yeah, Mr. 831 Loverman, thank you for taking my call. I apologize. When I say DMV, I meant the D.C. metropolitan area.
Oh, got it. Okay. Like the Wire. You're hanging out down on, in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, I'm such a loser. I got to listen to you guys.
My brother lives out in like the DMV area of Virginia, so you're good. It's probably nice and humid out there at, what, 10:30 in the morning?
Dude, it's crazy. It's actually better weather here than in the Bay right now.
Oh, that's wild.
But that's very rare. Hey, so this is what I want to say. I don't really understand. First of all, and with all due respect, I feel like your question's a clown question. Like, what's the reason that's going to keep them from winning the Super Bowl?
Well, there's hold on, Bobby. I asked that because there's a lot of trepidation about this team right now. A lot of people are down on the 49ers. I'm not saying I am. And I'm not using the injury excuse. I refuse to use that because every single team is dealing with injuries. I'm just asking the question, if we're all so down on the Niners, give me the number one reason outside of the injuries. That's why I asked it that way. And when we say Super Bowl, it's a big trigger point for a lot of fans, and that's why we get the reaction we do. Continue, Bobby.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I can't give you the number one reason because there are too many reasons to even list. They're just, as a blanket statement, not good enough to win the Super Bowl. Now, can they get to the Super Bowl? I believe they can because they're in the NFC and all of the powers in the AFC. You know, but that being said, what I like about this year is it's the first time where in a very long time where I feel like there's actually no expectations, where you're like, this roster's stacked, there's no way we shouldn't win the Super Bowl. So it's kind of going to be a pleasant surprise. We got a very good team, but I don't think anyone considers us Super Bowl favorites. Your betting thing, I think, is mostly because they're in the NFC, and the fact is the Niners love to spend money on their team, so that's why the odds are the way they are. But yeah, I think it's crazy to think that we should be Super Bowl favorites. That we could even get to the Super Bowl, I think, is highly unlikely because, you know, we only got a couple problems for this team. Let's see. We don't know the running back situation. We don't
Yes,
have,
we do. It's Christian McCaffrey and Brian Robinson Jr. We literally know the running back position. Like, that's who it is.
If CMC gets 2,000 all-purpose yards, I still don't think we're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
We don't know what our wide receiver situation is. And then I don't know why we're so obstinate about holding on to this kicker. I mean, I don't understand why we devalue 3 points.
I'm with you on that one there.
Thanks, Bobby. That's Bobby in the DMV area, not the actual California Department of Motor Vehicles, which is, quite frankly, not the funnest place to be on a Wednesday. But we're going to be joined just shortly by Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports Bay Area, 49ers Insider there. And we'll ask her the question as well, because Bobby, he gave a lot of reasons why. But again, I kind of refute those reasons. The kicker is the kicker, right? And if he's a problem, you know, you'll get rid of him, you bring in a new kicker. I'm not worried about the Jake Moody stuff. I'm not worrying about that. That is whatever, okay? I will be worried about Christian McCaffrey's health. That is reasonable, but you got an insurance policy and Brian Robinson to back him up now. Now, is he a number one guy playing number two? No, he's not. He's a bona fide number two. Does he do anything spectacular? No, he does not. He is, you know, a consistent guy. We got her. We got her. Yeah, thumbs up. Great. Cool. All right. Jennifer Lee Chan. We'll bring her into the conversation. Jennifer Lee Chan, 49ers Insider, NBC Sports Bay Area. Joe Spadoni here alongside Sam Lubin. And she's brought to you by River Islands. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And Jennifer, good morning to you. We'll just bring you into the conversation. We're asking this right now, and it sounds negative, and it's...
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
It's really not trying to sound negative. It's just there's a lot of hesitancy when it comes to the fan base, I think, when it comes to this Niners squad. Year removed, obviously, from a tumultuous season, and then they were just in the Super Bowl last February, right? So there's a lot to be made. Are they a Super Bowl team? No. Are they the worst team in the league and the worst team in the division like last year? I don't think so. So it's probably somewhere in the middle. But I ask you, like, injuries aside, your biggest concern about this 49ers team is what, Jennifer, heading into the start of the season?
I think it's the young guys really playing up to their potential because there's so many of them that really need to perform. Maybe wide receivers. There's two healthy wide receivers on the 53 right now. So they've got to fix that. And I'm sure it'll kind of, the roster is going to be massaged and manipulated in the next couple of days. But the fact that they have two healthy wide receivers on that roster right now is a little questionable, but you know, there is a method to the madness, I'm sure. Defensive line, they went so heavy with offensive and defensive line, 21 guys. Last year was 17 on the 53. I think it's because the young guys have been injured during training camp, during the offseason, so they're not up to speed yet. Mykal Williams has been out, CJ West has been out. They're back to practice on Monday. Alfred Collins is behind the eight ball just because he missed all of the offseason until training camp. So those young guys that they really need to perform have not been in practice. So I think they went heavy on defensive line, light on wide receivers. They'll probably bring back some of the veteran guys like Russell Gage. He'll probably come back at some point. They've got to get more wide receivers on that roster.
You talk about some of the young players on this defensive line. Obviously, the most notable there is Mykal Williams, who did miss all of the preseason games, but he was able to practice on Monday, from what I heard. Were you able to kind of see from him on Monday? How is he looking right now as we get closer and closer to game one against the Seahawks?
I mean, they're being careful with all those guys coming back, so they're not going to do a whole lot. And we have seen some good stuff from him during practices before, but not a lot on Monday. And I think this week's going to be a little bit lighter week. They do have a practice this afternoon, a little bit later. We speak to John and Kyle at 2. They have a practice at 3. So we will see a little bit more of them. But it's just about, you know, Kyle Shanahan talks about these offseason reps. They're so important. And these guys didn't get all of them. So, I mean, watching Ricky Pearsall, he didn't get a lot of them last year because of the hamstring. It took him a while to get going. Same thing with Brandon Ayuk. Missed the whole offseason last year holding in. It took him a while to get going. He didn't really look like himself until he had, you know, till the game where he got injured. So it's all about getting those game reps. And a lot of these young guys, it's a different game. You look at Nick Martin and the first preseason game, I think the speed of the game was completely different for him. So he took bad angles, had a lot of missed tackles. And then you look at it, you know, as he kind of adjusted to week 2 and week 3, he understood the speed of the game a little bit more. And so he's adjusting. So, I mean, those reps are so important to see those guys progress.
Talking with Jennifer Lee Chan here on the Morning Rose 49ers Insider for NBC Sports Bay Area. And Jennifer, kind of compare and contrast the vibe heading into week 1 this year. Now that we're out of preseason, right? We're less than 2 weeks away, week 1, Seattle. This year compared to last year, can you just compare the vibes? You're so tight with this team, the players, the coaching staff. It felt last year, you know, you got the Super Bowl loss, the hangover. It was very tense with all the different holdouts. I don't really get that sense this year.
No, I mean, this year they're hitting the ground running from the beginning of the offseason. Everybody showed up. I think last year there was definitely a hangover. There was emotional drain. There was physical drain. George Kittle has talked about how healthy he feels now. Healthier in this offseason than he's ever felt before. Fred Warner also not dealing with an injury. So those are your two guys that are motor. They're the motor of the team, right? So they come into practice always enthusiastic. So for those guys to be dealing with stuff coming into the offseason last year and they're not this year, that raises the whole energy level of the team. So that's definitely where it starts.
Jennifer, yesterday the Niners had their final cutdown day, whittled the roster down to 53. Just were there any surprises to you on the final roster, guys who made the roster that you were maybe not expecting, guys who did not make the roster who you were not expecting? And of all the guys who were cut yesterday, who are the most likely to return to the team on the practice squad or just in some other sort of way?
I was a little bit surprised Drew Moss versus Nick Zakel. That was one that I was not expecting. I, you know, Nick Zakel's kind of been in there as the guard, but we saw Connor Colby kind of take over that backup guard role. I think he leapfrogged him during the last couple of weeks. I mean, I think everybody's kind of training camp darling was Sebastian Valdez. Everybody really liked the Hulk, and he was released. If he clears waivers, I would think they would want him back along with Tariq Owens. I mean, now the young guys have to clear waivers. So there's a lot of guys I think they want to have back. I think veteran-wise, the punter, Thomas Morstead, they released him because they're going to bring him back. I think it's just a little roster manipulation there. I think Jacob Cowing's going to go on IR. So that'll be one where they lose a spot there and then can bring Thomas Morstead back. Maybe some of those wide receiver veterans, again, just like I said, Russell Gage is a guy that has done a lot of good stuff. Robbie Chosen, they're going to need to bring some of those veteran wide receivers back because, you know, if you look at the wide receivers that are out there, Kyle Shanahan's offense, it's just tough for a wide receiver to come in and immediately be a plug and play unless he's been in the system before. So I don't think they go after another guy, you know, like everybody was wanting Amari Cooper at the time, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to be able to step in immediately. He doesn't know the system. He doesn't know everything that needs to be done. And it's hard for a guy to come in off the street and be effective in Kyle Shanahan's system right away.
Jennifer Lee Chan joining us here on the Morning Roast. Joe Spadoni alongside Sam Lemon filling in for Joe Shasky. And Jennifer, the big, obviously, story still remaining for the 49ers is Juwan Jennings. Deal coming to a head here? Is it going to be a stalemate? Do you expect Juwan Jennings to be suited up week 1 in Seattle as a San Francisco 49er, Jennifer?
Oh, your guess is as good as mine on this one. I think, yeah, I know. It's weird. It's completely different than last year with Brandon Ayuk, where you saw him all the time. We have really not seen Juwan Jennings very, very little. He was in Vegas. He posted on social media. You know, he was at the stadium, but he hasn't been on the field. Like Brandon Ayuk has been on the field with the wide receivers during pregame, during practice. We have really not seen Juwan Jennings at all. So it's been a very different thing with him than versus Brandon Ayuk in the hold-in last year. We don't know how much it is the calf. We don't know how much is the contract. I think it's a combination of both. I think it's going to, the conversation is going to be dominated by Juwan Jennings' questions tonight, this afternoon, and we'll see where it is. Last year, this exact same time is when you could kind of feel Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch express their frustration with Brandon Ayuk. It was kind of fine up until that point, but today is the day where they will, I think, show their colors a little bit on whether it actually is the calf or whether it actually is the contract.
Yeah, again, the word distraction, I think, is kind of gets thrown out a little bit. Is there a potential that this standoff with Juwan Jennings, if we want to call it that, does that, you know, kind of run the risk of kind of turning into a distraction for this team in a way that the Brandon Ayuk situation was last year for this team?
I don't think so. I don't think so as much. I mean, I think because everybody's healthy, and while they don't have a lot of wide receivers, they got Brian Robinson, who's also a pass catcher. You've got Christian McCaffrey, who can catch passes. And then because Luke Farrell's there as a blocking tight end, George Kittle can be a receiver. So you're going to have this air game by committee, I think, if Juwan Jennings can't get out there. And Ricky Pearsall has looked really good during training camp. So right there, you've got four targets for Brock Purdy. So they can distribute it differently. It doesn't have to necessarily be Juwan Jennings. I think there's pieces that they have on the roster that can actually make up for him. I mean, no one can make up and be Juwan Jennings, but I think they can distribute the ball differently so that they're still effective.
Jennifer, you mentioned Ricky Pearsall there, and we've been kind of playing a little back and forth here on the show this morning. You know, if the Niners don't win a Super Bowl, why will that be? And, you know, Spadoni here's talked about what if there is a no home run threat, because with Christian McCaffrey and the wear and tear there, you don't know what, you know, the overall long-term health will be there. Is this a year you think, again, this is kind of his rookie year 2.0, do you see Ricky as kind of a guy who can emerge as a big home run threat should, for whatever reason, Christian McCaffrey, again, this hypothetical situation, be limited in that?
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
Role in any way this year?
I think so. He's really shown that he has connected with Brock Purdy. And, you know, wide receivers are always open, right? They always are like, I'm open. But it has to be in the right timing sense. And they've worked that out. So Brock Purdy worked with Ricky Pearsall about it's not just being open. It's being at the right place at the right time. And their chemistry has really grown. Ricky went to Florida. I'm sure you know that he went with him to Florida, where he goes to have his quarterback coaching sessions during the offseason. And it looks like they are really on the same page. I mean, through training camp, through all the practices, Ricky's really been the guy that Brock has targeted because there haven't been any other wide receivers out there other than the young guys. So they're all adjusting, but Ricky Pearsall is really the guy, along with DeMarcus Robinson. He'll be back in week four. I think those two guys can really carry the load for the wide receivers.
All right, Jennifer, if you were a betting woman, I'm not saying you are, but if you were a betting woman, is Jake Moody going to be a 49er at year's end? It's a loaded question.
It is. I think the leash is kind of short on him. I think they'll keep him around. I mean, Kyle Shanahan said, you know, we'll see how the year goes. So that's a lot of pressure on him. And man, listening to the fans at that preseason game after he missed the point after, wow. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen 49ers fans be like that before since they've been at Levi's Stadium. Maybe a little bit of Candlestick here and there. But at Levi's, I don't think I've ever heard that. I mean, it's never been that loud when a kicker goes out there for a PAT or a field goal. I mean, there were a lot of boos. It was loud. That's a lot of pressure on a guy. He just doesn't strike me as a guy who has that overwhelming confidence. I mean, completely different personality than Robbie Gould, who was like, you know, kicking field goals in the middle of a cheerleader practice, you know, cheerleaders coming out. I don't know if he can rebuild his confidence. I mean, they've done everything possible to give him a fresh slate. New special teams coordinator, new long snapper, new holder. So, I mean, it's a completely new slate outside of being in a new location. So we'll see if he can build his confidence back up. But, I mean, missing 2 of 4 in practice and then missing a point after, kind of shaky game during the preseason. I understand the fans being a little stressed about him being the kicker, but I don't think Kyle Shanahan really likes it either. So I would think that you know, there's a short window of if he blows a 36-yarder makeable field goal to win a game, I think, you know, maybe that's the tipping point.
I mean, is it just the fact that he, like, Kyle Shanahan's been a third-round pick on this guy? Is that, like, the only reason he's still the 49ers kicker?
I mean, I think that might be
like
part
that,
of it.
Right?
I mean,
you know, it kind of feels
right?
Like that.
Yeah. Right, because, you know, they don't want it, no one ever wants to be wrong, right? So, I mean, he does have a great leg. I mean, we've seen him boot it 60-some yards. So he does have talent. He does have a big leg. But it's whether it can be accurate or not. So, I mean, I don't think he's ever faced this type of adversity before. I mean, yes, he's kicked through bad weather. He's kicked through tough situations. But I think this is the first time in his life where he's really had a struggle. I mean, maybe it's a situation where he goes to a sports psychiatrist or psychologist like Mike McGlinchey did. Remember, he had some issues and that really helped him. You know, it's, he's got to, like Ted Lasso says, have the memory of a goldfish. And I don't know if he does.
That's a great, I haven't seen Ted Lasso, but I keep hearing good things about it. I'm the only one that hasn't seen it. I haven't seen it either.
Yes.
Jennifer, you got to get it locked into Love Island though next. That's the show of the summer, right? Love Island's the good stuff, all right? Continue, Sam.
Again, as we're talking about the good stuff, I think Brock Purdy has the good stuff. At least he will this year, hopefully. But last year was obviously tough for him, Jennifer. And yesterday we talked about this piece that Albert Breer wrote for Sports Illustrated where he talked to Brock, and Brock kind of made it seem like, you know, that the struggles of 2024 prepared Brock for whatever he might face this year. I'm curious, just how do you think what Brock went through in 2024 and how up and down that season was, how is that going to have him better prepared to deal with whatever ups and downs this season might throw at him?
Brock Purdy is such an even-keeled guy that really, I know it's so cliche, but Kyle Shanahan says never gets too high, never gets too low. He really is a worker, and talking to guys like Sam Darnold and Mac Jones and Tanner Mordecai during the offseason, they all talk about Brock Purdy's preparation. And I thought it was so crazy for Sam Darnold to say, no, Brock, I've learned how to prepare from Brock. The fact that, you know, a guy who was a seventh-round pick teaching a first-round pick how to prepare for a game, how to prepare for practice, I think part of that makes Brock who he is. And so for him to have all this time during the offseason to prepare, watch his film, and really get better, I think that's what makes him who he is. So I think Brock Purdy is going to be who he normally is, and he's going to be as prepared as possible. And he's going to be a successful guy just because of all the work he puts in. You know, he might not have all the measurables. He might not be 6'5 and have, you know, a rocket for an arm, but he does all the other things that kind of bring his game up that compensate for those maybe, I mean, lesser metrics, I guess.
Talking with Jennifer Lee-Chan here on the Morning Rose, 49ers insider for NBC Sports Bay Area. All right, Jennifer, more likely the 49ers miss the playoffs completely or they make the Super Bowl at Levi Stadium?
Oh, well, I mean, the goal is always the Super Bowl. It always depends on the injuries. So if Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy, that's who the offense runs around. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Trent Williams. If your key players stay healthy, of course, Brock Purdy as well. If Fred Warner stays healthy, I mean, Fred Warner last year, the first 5 weeks before he hurt his ankle, oh my gosh. I remember sitting next to Matt Maiocco in the press box and we're like, this is his Hall of Fame year. I mean, like, this is where he punches his ticket to the Hall of Fame. Then he hurt his ankle, and then it took him a while to get back to that level. I mean, by the end of the season, he looked really good. But those first 5 weeks were ridiculous. And so if you have those key players doing what they do, I don't see how they can miss the playoffs. I just don't. So, I mean, I think you're going to see maybe some more five-man fronts because Drake.
Uh-oh.
But Fred Warner, I mean, I think with maybe a few guys.
No, you're
I don't
back.
Know where
you're
you,
good.
Where you
no, no,
lost
no,
me,
good.
But I think
you're
they're going to have some more five-man fronts to help out. Okay. So, I mean, if the key players, the secondary looks good with Renardo Green, Diamond Lenore, but, I mean, as long as they stay healthy, I think they should play into the postseason.
Hey, Jennifer, great stuff there. We really appreciate your time this morning. Hopefully we do it as the season goes on. Less than 2 weeks away now from week 1 in Seattle. Great stuff here, and we'll catch you on NBC Sports.
Appreciate you, Jennifer.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
There she goes. Jennifer Lee-Chan, 49ers insider for NBC Sports Bay Area. Catch her all season long, right there. Her and Matt Maiocco on the coverage, and our friend, of course, the king himself, Bonte Hill. It's good stuff. There's
a lot of information.
The Jake
there.
Moody stuff was, again, all this time we're talking about the kicker. There's part of me that just wants to be cynical. It's like, God, we're talking about the kicker. And listen, I'm a kicker defender. All right, kickers are people too. Punters are people too. I understand that. Although there's not a punter currently on the roster, technically. She thinks Thomas Moore said
it seems like there's an understanding there.
He's going to come back.
Exactly. Shout out paperwork.
There you go.
Jacob Cowing, he'll be going on injury reserve, which that's very unfortunate there. But yeah, that'll be the open roster spot. The other takeaway I had is, as we were talking about Ricky Pearsall, she seems very high on what is possible for Ricky Pearsall this year. Just talk about the work that him and Brock put in this offseason. And the more and more we talk about it this morning, Spadoni, the more and more I think just a lot of eyes are going to have to be on Ricky this year. A lot of expectations are going to be on Ricky this year. And I he's up for the challenge. And I'll be curious to see throughout this year how he kind of rises up to the challenge of being the dude of, listen, you're the guy who's going to make this offense run. I'm curious to see how he handles that.
Well, and she was trying to, and I didn't phrase it in the way I should have, because I said playoff or miss the playoffs entirely or make the Super Bowl. Obviously, like, only two teams make the Super Bowl, so the odds are that you're not going to make the playoffs. You'd go towards there. I should have asked, is this team closer to being a top five pick or a Super Bowl team? That's really the one right now, because as I'm thinking about it, I think that's a lot of fans are viewing this team as, oh, the 5, 6, 7, 8. I was like, no. And JLC, she laid it out very well right there. When you have, you know, a Hall of Famer in Fred Warner, he was playing at a Hall of Fame level.
You go back
to that Vikings game. He literally kept him in that game that they had an opportunity to potentially steal that and win it. Like he was the reason they were in that game. He was incredible. You have Nick Bosa, who's healthy by all accounts, right? I know there's a cue there, but apparently everything's all good and he's working. He's fine. Trent Williams, right? By all accounts, healthy, good to go. Christian McCaffrey, checking all the boxes, right? You got Brian Robinson, his insurance policy right there. So they have pieces on this team going forward. It's just, can the cohesive unit get back? And she said the vibes are just much different, much better.
Which is good to hear.
Much better. And for sure, like the Juwan Jennings thing, it's not on the level of Brandon Ayuk. Mm-hmm. It's not on the level of Trent Williams, because quite frankly, Juwan's just not on their levels as a player.
Yeah.
He's just not.
Well, she even said that it's not as much a distraction this year as it was last year because of you have so many other options around him.
Yes.
Now, I am curious to say, and she even kind of hinted at that, you know, John and Kyle are talking today. This is the time of year where if things are going to start to get a little bit bitter, this is the time when it will happen. So be a very curious press conference today before practice for those two to hear what they have to say. And, you know, Spadoni, you mentioned all the guys who, you know, the Niners should be counting on. Obviously, Fred Warner, future Hall of Famer. George Kittle, future Hall of Famer. The Trent Williams here, I want to just do a couple minutes here because what's the best way to put it? Like, I'm not going to try and just be like, I completely doubt Trent Williams. But when you consider how important Trent Williams is to the success of this season, mixed in with the fact that he didn't play any of the preseason games. Now, granted, he's got those veteran rights, but he is 37 years old. It was not a great year for him last year to start the season. Are we still feeling the same overall confidence in Trent Williams and just what he will bring to this team this year? Because left tackle, obviously, one of the most important positions in all of sports. It's his job to protect Brock Purdy's blind side. And considering the options behind Big Trent, if he goes down, and that it's probably going to be Spencer Burford, who is at best at left tackle, do we still feel that same confidence with Trent? Am I panicking a little too much?
Zero doubts or worries about Trent Williams. I might be the only one, but he dealt with significant injury last year. He's healthy right now, and he dealt with a significant personal tragedy in his family. And you can't quantify how that gets on the mentals of someone.
Yeah.
I'm never going to imagine what it was like to be in his cleats last year on the field dealing with a tragedy that he and his significant other had to deal with. And listen, in a down year for him, he still had, you know, a top 10 like tackle season. Okay. According to Pro Football Focus, which again, not the end all be all, but it's nice to rely on people that can quantify numbers and run blocking.
It's harder for the offensive line to quantify.
Correct. So
yeah.
I'm going to rely on the Pro Football Focus in this regard to tell me that. He ranked 7th amongst offensive tackles last year. Totally. Number 7 in a down year for him,
yeah,
he's still pretty freaking good. He's a Hall of Famer. Like,
no, absolutely. I'm not trying to doubt what he's accomplished already, but what he has accomplished in the past only has so much bearing on what he can do in the future. And again, I look at the age, I look at the wear and tear, and at some point there is a time where just the years, they finally catch up to you. You know, as shout smash mouth, the years stop coming, they don't stop coming. You know, they haven't stopped coming for Trent Williams. So again, you've assuaged some of my concerns there. Thank you for that. But it is wonder, it's just when you consider how important he is to this team and what he needs to be able to do for this team this year for them to have success. Like, I have a little bit of trepidation there. When I see it week one, maybe it'll go away for good.
888-957-9570 is the number. We got the injury report coming up here momentarily. And we've been talking about, you know, the number one reason outside of injuries why the 49ers will not win the Super Bowl. And I actually asked a question to you guys yesterday on the call. I was like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked would you be that the 49ers and Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan are hoisting the Lombardi at Levi Stadium? And my answer might surprise some people on the other side. That's a tease.
My answer won't.
But first, Carter, it is time for the injury report. And the Giants did make it official yesterday, placing Randy Rodriguez on the injured list with a right elbow sprain. Rodriguez reportedly was experiencing arm soreness after the Giants lost on Friday night and underwent an MRI yesterday. He is expected to meet with doctors to go over the results today. Keaton Wynn was called up to take Rodriguez's spot on the roster, and Ryan Walker is expected to take over the closer role. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. So, within the last 5 years, we've had not one, but two Super Bowl winning teams do it at home. The 49ers could be the third team to do it. And how shocked would you be, Niner fans, that that would occur? On a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked would you be? 888-957-9570. It's the same number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Halfway home on a hump day in the Bay, it's Spadoni, Lubman, and Frashaski. It's the Morning Roast, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.